We are this evening looking into the Gospel of John. If you'd like to join us there in the final chapter, the 21st chapter is our place. My notes remind me that we were here 14 months ago, but I don't know. We've all slept since then, haven't we? And I bet that we might just need the encouragement of these verses more than once or twice. Let's begin our reading with verse 15. This is that place where Jesus has made breakfast for the disciples by the Sea of Galilee, and they're all surprised to discover him there. They've been fishing, and they come into land, and our Lord has a breakfast started on the beach for them. And verse 15 says, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now this he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, therefore, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, and what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. This saying, therefore, went out among the brethren that that disciple would not die. And yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but only, if I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who bears witness of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his witness is true. So we're looking at a true story here, aren't we? I'm grateful to Peter on so many different levels, and I'm grateful for Peter, and I'm grateful for his honesty and his brashness at times, and the fact that he says things that we wouldn't dare say, though we think them. But he says to Jesus, as he looks around, he and the Lord are going off to finish this conversation, I can only presume. And John gets up. He wants to be close as he can to our Lord. We're told that Jesus loves him, and he loves our Lord, and so he wants to be there. And Peter, almost like an older sibling, would turn around and be a little irritated. What about this guy? Almost like, why is he following us? But what about him? You've spoken to me about what awaits me. What about this guy? What's your will for him? And our Lord says this most instructive thing. Basically, if I want this for him, if I want that for him, if I want him to go a different way than you, what concern is that of yours? I don't sense any animosity in our Lord's tone or words, do you? I just sense in here this straight question. What is it to you? I have a will for you. I have a will for him. What's it to you if they differ? And that's our first point tonight. The will of God will differ for this one, for that one, for the other. Now some aspects you can say without equivocation that the will of God for all of us is identical on so many points. Wouldn't you agree? This is the will of God, your sanctification. And that finger points to all of us in here. And the will of God is that we glorify Him. The will of God is that we love one another. The will of God is that we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And those last two points come from 1 John. And we'll see them again and again. But the will of God is the same for all of us on so many different points and different levels. But then it gets right down to that the path that He chooses for this one, or the path that He chooses for that one, will differ from time to time, from disciple to disciple. Our Lord says to Peter, if I want him to remain, and that's to stay alive, until I come back, well then what is that to you? And so there's a point of almost healthy spiritual indifference, if we could put it this way. What is it to me? It's nothing to me in the final sense. What God's will for you is, what I have to be concerned about is what's God's will for me. Does that make sense? And I certainly don't mean it rude or cruel or ugly. I mean it in the sense, I think that I can say this in the way that our Lord was saying it to Peter. God's will differs, and it very well may differ, and I'm not telling you, but it very well may differ for this man than from you. And so the saint has to become as comfortable as he or she can with that truth, that, as someone put it this way, others may and you cannot. They may be able to do certain things, and you feel a restriction, you feel a check in your spirit, you feel the Lord saying no to you, that you can't do this. We had a woman come into our shop yesterday, and she's a wiry little spry thing, and she's probably as old as I am. But she's a hiker, and she's told us every time she can, I'm a hiker. And then this last time, she started telling us everywhere she's been. And I'm thinking, oh man, this sounds fun. Who would not like to go hiking in Portugal? Who would like to go to New Zealand to go hiking? Yeah, everybody. Oh, you ought to see, no, not everybody. Okay, well see, that illustrates my point. And I'm sitting there thinking, it would be nice, but it's not God's will for me. And you and I have to get comfortable with what God's will is for us. They can, and we might not be able to. And that works both ways. They might not be able to, we can. But the path of God's will is that which He chooses, right? If I want Him to remain. And it's not if John wants to stay alive and if you really can avoid this that's coming. No, it's the path that I have chosen for you. And He says to Peter, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself. You used to do whatever you wanted to do. Now, when you get old, it's not going to end up that way for you. And so it's the path that Christ chooses. And it's true for an individual. I think it's true for a church. If you and I were having a church in some big metropolitan center, maybe even in the heart of downtown, and all around us were homeless people, what would you think God's will for us just might be? At least part of it. To minister to the homeless? Maybe so. But now you get a church way out in the outskirts where there are no homeless people, and God's will for them may be something a little different. Do you catch my point here? If I want this for this one, what is that to you? And He may say it to a congregation as really He says it to one man. And so the simple point here is the will of God will differ from one to the other. Now, the next point, verse 19, I think is encouraging. That will tend towards the glory of God. This Jesus said, signifying by what kind of death He would glorify God. I love that. Now, tradition tells us that Peter was crucified, as Jesus was. Paul was beheaded, Peter was crucified. That's the tradition. And if you want to go further in the tradition, Peter requested, almost like, I'm not good enough to be crucified as Jesus was, hang me upside down. And so that's the full tradition, as best I understand it. But whatever it was this that Christ had chosen for him, that he might glorify God. And so the next point in this is that that will, the will of God, is that which is going to finish what he started. Now you remember, just a few weeks before this, right the night in which our Lord is betrayed, Peter with a red face had said to Jesus, "I will never betray you. I will never forsake you." These others, they might all run away, but me, never. And then they all started saying the same thing. But Peter, Jesus said, "You know, before the cock has crowed fully, even two times this evening or early tomorrow morning, you will have denied me three times." Oh, no, no, no. I would never do that. And again, I think that was in Peter's heart. And I can salute that within him, that there, that was the man. That was in the heart of the man. Alas, there's something else in the heart of the man too, right? When push comes to shove and Jesus is taken by the authorities and he stands there being grilled by the high priest, and the high priest servant girl looks at him and says, "You know, I've seen you. I've seen you with that group. I've seen you with that. You are one of his." No, 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 no. And then starts the slippery slope where Peter, another part of Peter comes out and he begins to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. "Oh, no, I don't know the man. This is the same fella." And I say this with trembling because I'm as weak as Peter. But this is the same fellow that just said to Jesus, "I love you, I will never forsake you." And a few hours later, you see what a little sleep at prayer time will do for you? A few hours later, he's saying, "I don't know the man. I tell you," and I can't repeat what Peter said, not in polite society, "but I do not know the man." He denied the Lord. But now look at verse 18. "When you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will gird you, and that person will bring you where you do not wish to go." And John adds this, that he was signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. That's the kind of statement that someone can make who has outlived the event, right? John, they think, wrote somewhere in the 90s to 100 his gospel and his letters. And so this is the recollection of a man that was there and then some 30 years later heard the sad news that Peter was put to death by Rome. And then he says, "You know, and it glorified God." But he may have very well thought this, "And God accomplished what he had started in Peter." What he started in Peter was, "I will never forsake you. I will never abandon you. I will never depart from you." And that got tested, and the first resolve crumbled, but in the end, that resolve stood. Isn't that sweet? Do you have resolves that you've stumbled and fumbled over? I bet you do. I have. And I look forward to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ establishes and finishes that, and the will of God accomplishes what he started. It's like Paul saying, "You know, I delight in the will of God. I delight in the word of God, and yet I find a different law in my members." Well, who will deliver me from that? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Now, finally, is it not kind of our Lord to prepare him for his will? "This will happen," he says. "This is going to happen to you," he says. Now, he's told him before, this and such is going to happen. Peter hotly denies it, and then it happens. And now I think he's got the man's attention, and he's listening. "And Jesus said to me that when I grow old," and so they've got a few more years to ponder on this and a few more years to prepare myself about this and to pray over this. But he's prepared me for that. He has prepared me. And you read over there in one of his epistles, and he said, the Lord has made it clear to me that my death is imminent. You remember? I don't recall the verse exactly. I can't quote the location, but it's there. Peter says, the Lord has made clear to me it's just around the corner. It is so kind of the Lord to prepare us and speak to us and ready us for those things that try us. And so that last point is just the sort of thing that we can plead with one another to trust him. We can plead with our own heart, oh, trust in the Lord. For in the Lord we have an everlasting rock. We have a sure foundation. We have one who is like the shelter of a rock in a great weary land. We have one who is kind. We have a strong tower to run into. We have all these things in Christ, and he is kind to prepare us for all that is coming. Well, you almost want to say, I want to say with Mary, and I'll take you all the way back to the beginning of Christ's ministry, when she said to him, hey, they've run out of wine. And our Lord says to his mother, what's that to you what's that to me and to you? She turns over to the rest of the servants that are there, and she says, what? Whatever he says, do it. Let's pray.